Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever worked on a group project? It sounds like such a great idea, right? Everyone does their part. Everyone invests a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, a little bit of energy. And in the end, the group is rewarded, right? There's an outcome that is far greater than any one person could have accomplished on their own. Or at least that's the idea. Now, as people begin to embark upon a group project of any type, there first needs to be someone or some sort of brainstorming, right? There needs to be this sort of passing of ideas around, make sure everybody is on the same page. They need to cast a vision, so to speak. Everyone in the group needs to have a common goal. And if there is no common goal, then the finished product really doesn't turn out that well. Now, after you sort of get this goal in mind, then you can sort of divvy up the tasks according to, you know, what each person might be good at or what their skill set is, and in the end, something is accomplished. Well, my friends, all too often we perceive Christianity as a group project. It's not. It's not. We have an image in our minds of how we would like the world to be or how we would like the church to be. We have our own ideas about what is good and bad and right and wrong and helpful and unhelpful. And when somehow our perceptions don't quite line up with what we perceive reality to be, what we would hope is the truth isn't quite exactly what we're seeing before our eyes, we think it's time for us to change it, to fix it. And it ultimately ends up in that God isn't doing the things we want. That's our perception. And so what we do is we want God to do the things the way we want and not the way that he knows is best. Now, this is what brings us straight into our gospel reading for today, because this is exactly what St. Peter did. He wants Christianity to be a group project. It'll certainly be Jesus as the lead, but then him and the other apostles will all sort of do their part, and they're going to usher in this kingdom where Jesus is going to rule. See, just a few verses prior, Peter made a profound confession that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God. When the world is sort of just taking guesses, Peter knows exactly who God is. And now, a few verses later, he's being rebuked. Because now he is in the way of God's plan. He is a stumbling block to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Peter desires God's plan to be his way. But this is precisely where God speaks not only to Peter, but also to us. God won't have any of it. He doesn't even give Peter a second breath when he gives Peter a stern rebuke right back. Peter, you're acting on behalf of Satan. And then Jesus continues his journey to death. You see, as humans, we cannot help but have human values and human interests and human mindsets. The ways of God are not our ways. In fact, if Peter teaches us anything, if the Word of God here teaches us anything from these verses in Matthew, it's that we can't trust our own plan. We can't trust our own words. We can't trust our own actions. Because more often, they put us in league with Satan rather than God. So what do we do? What do we do if we can't even trust ourselves? Well, Jesus explains all of that too. He describes what discipleship means for our values and our interests and our attitudes. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, the danger with these words is that we've all heard them so often, you know, dozens upon dozens of times, take up your cross and follow me. It's become one of those Christian platitudes, right? Those phrases that don't really mean anything anymore. And so what we need to understand is, what does it actually mean to take up our cross and follow Jesus? It means you're not in a group project with God. That's what it means. He doesn't need your insight. He doesn't need your ideas. He doesn't need your creativity. He doesn't need you to cast a vision. He doesn't need it. He is God and we are creatures. And so it's not your job. In fact, God's already done it all. He's already set everything into place. His plan is already in motion. He knows the world in which we live. He knows that the church itself is imperfect. And so what does he do? But he guides. And you and me, we simply follow. But the only way we know where he's leading is if you learn from him. You see, Jesus tried to tell Peter that his plan needed to be death and resurrection. And Peter didn't want to follow that plan. And so if you want your interests to become God's interests, if you want what you think is good to be the same thing as what God knows is good, then you need to open the pages of Scripture. That's the only way you know where Jesus is leading. It is in the Bible. And it means that your life during work or leisure or any other vocation should always have a foundation in what God has said. Your attitude should simply be one of trust, no matter what happens. But there's sort of a struggle here, right? Because Jesus calls it a cross. To basically say that we cannot trust ourselves and we simply trust in the Word of God, Jesus calls it a cross. He recognizes that it's a burden. Because by nature, it means we're always going to struggle. If by nature our ways are not God's ways, it means that we have to constantly crucify ourselves. You know, Luther talked about it this way. He says, in the morning, wake up with the sign of the cross. Because it not only reminds us that we are baptized children of God who have been set behind Jesus to follow him, but also that we need to crucify our flesh. That we need to live lives of repentance and put away our human thoughts and mindsets. But it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. It's going to mean there's going to have to be sacrifice. Or maybe, you know, you don't get to watch one more episode before you go to bed. But instead you turn the TV off and you open your Bible and you receive from the Lord. It might mean that you have to lose 30 minutes of sleep at the beginning of your day. Because you're going to set aside that time to open God's Word and to make your mindset the same as His, at least for a few minutes. Because to follow Jesus is a cross. It means sacrifice. And that's hard. And it's not a part-time job. And it's not something we do when it's convenient. But it's a cross we bear. But at the same time, the cross is not a burden. Because in the midst of our struggles, we know that Jesus is leading straight to his cross. He's guiding you right to the place where he bleeds and dies to win forgiveness for you. That's why you know that all of those times that you chose your flesh, that you chose your desires over God's, you are forgiven. Jesus leads you to the cross that you can hear those words. Why he leads you to the church, where you can hear God's word through the voice of the pastor, through the community that is gathered here, so you can be reminded that in spite of your weaknesses and failures, God is still there for you, calling you his child through baptism, promising you strength for your journey as you receive his body and blood for your forgiveness. My friends, you hear with Peter that you're forgiven for all the times that we disregarded God's plan for us. You are forgiven. And when the Son of Man comes with his angels and the glory of the Father, you will be repaid. He will see the struggle that you've lived for your life. He will see how you have so clinged to his word of promise, and he will reward you, not according to your sin, but according to your faith. Because in you, he will see his Son, Jesus. And he'll repay you for the price that Jesus paid on the cross. He'll repay you according to what Jesus has done through his perfect life. My friends, Christianity is no group project. Because if it were, we'd be completely lost. Instead, it's a one-man show. Jesus is doing all the work for you. So set aside yourself. Set aside your desires and your attitudes and your values, because chances are their foundation isn't in anything good. But instead, follow Jesus. Hear his words, receive his gifts for you today and every day. For Jesus leads you to his blood and his cross and his resurrection to life everlasting. And in the end, you'll be rewarded with an outcome far greater than any group could ever have accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.